teacher on one of the topics. Isn't that just like the Lord? And it happened to be on wisdom. And I know you guys know quite a bit about wisdom. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've been taught on wisdom. But I'm hoping this will bring a clearer understanding of it. Can we pray for a minute? Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Father, as your word goes out, Father, have it take root and plant it, and let them be not only hearers of the word, but doers also. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll tell you a funny story. Well, it's not really funny, but it's just like God. Angelo had misplaced his boat key. This boat key has a float to it. You don't mind me telling this to you, huh? And he said, Millie, I've misplaced my boat key. I don't know where it is. So then we were both looking for it, and it was one day went by of us looking for it. And then that morning, I thought, I'm going to look for that boat key. So I got up, started looking for the boat key, and I had prayed about it. That morning, I prayed about that boat key. And I said, Lord, he is really distressed about this boat key. How many of you have husbands, when they get distressed, you know automatically, oh, bless his heart, he's so upset about this boat key. So I was looking in the bedroom, Kelly, looked in his underwear drawer, looked in all the drawers, looked everywhere. And just as I was leaving the bedroom, I heard the Lord say, check that little cabinet by the door. I opened it up, and there it was. So we had the boat key. So that's just like God, though. When you are frustrated in your own self, trying to do something on your own, and hadn't taken the time to stop and pray about it, he shows you where it's at. Amen. The title of this is Gain Knowledge and Find Wisdom. The book of James is a really neat book. I really like the book of James. Of course, I like. There's one thing that I noticed about Coco. He doesn't have it today, but he usually brings his Bible with him, doesn't he, Kelly? And I usually sit with him, and he likes to look up scriptures as people are calling them out. He'll find it, then he gets his highlighter. Well, I was whispering to him one day. I said, well, Coco, you're really highlighting a lot here. He goes, I'm only highlighting the important part. Well, it's the whole chapter. You know what? He's right. Every word is important. And he highlights the whole thing. If you'll go to James chapter 3. And it's helped him quite a bit because he's learning that Bible. He's learning where things are. And that's why sometimes you'll see me whisper to him, that's Old Testament, that's New Testament, whatever. Chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. You know, there's some confusion about wisdom and knowledge. And that's because there's this. There's godly knowledge, godly wisdom, and worldly knowledge, and worldly wisdom. Now, let me explain the difference. When I was a girl, my mother taught me how to use a can opener. Everybody know how to use a can opener? Yeah, amen. Well, I had a friend, she had never used a can opener. She was like 16 years old. That amazed me. I handed it to her. I said, Sue, open that can for me. She looked at it. She said, what do I do with that? I said, you open that can. It's a can opener. I've never used a can opener. So I had to show her. She was gaining worldly knowledge and applying it to opening the can. We use worldly knowledge and worldly wisdom a lot. But what you got to know is when to use that and when to use godly. Because they're two different, separate things. Okay, let me read James chapter 3, verses 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. This is how you tell the difference. It's pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You can tell almost immediately when someone's in the wrong thing. Coco, can you come up here? And then, who else would be good? Cortland. Hold that one. Cortland's going to hold this one. Here's what happens. People, because of the hurt and pain that they're in, will want to stay over here. They want to react to things, not in a godly way, but in a worldly way. Instead of going over here and doing what God has for them. And most of our lives, our everyday lives that we're functioning in, we're cooking, cleaning, working, we're over here. But the Word of God says to walk in the Spirit. So you got to be able to know where you're at and what you're, where you are in your spirit, man. If you're dealing with something that's physical, like cleaning the house, working, opening a can, changing oil, it's okay to be over here. But if you're dealing with things in the spirit realm, you have to be over here. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. When I was nursing, actively nursing, I worked with a lot of knowledgeable people. And these knowledgeable people, their worldly knowledge became a stumbling block to them because they could not apply it to spiritual matters. And there were sometimes, I remember one time, a physician, I got on the phone, I was talking to him, and he was just cussing up a storm. I mean, he was nasty. He was being mean. He was being ugly. And I looked at the phone, and I hung it up. He calls back, and he said, "You hung up the phone on me." I said, "Oh, was that you? I didn't realize it was you. I know you have a lot of knowledge, and you're really smart, but I thought you knew more words than those four-letter ones you were using." Immediately, he shifted because he knew that he was in the flesh, though this man was not a Christian. And you can see how that happens even to Christians today. They'll jump into their flesh, and they'll act out of that worldly knowledge and worldly wisdom instead of being in the Spirit. And it talks about that peace. In fact, I wrote something down here just a while ago. Let's see if I can find it. Worldly wisdom cannot offer effective treatment for a spiritual matter. Jesus offers you all you need to grow into healthy and holy people. Our Savior makes a home in us and through us on an eternal union based on grace. Isn't that true? He lives in us. You can actually access that godly wisdom and godly knowledge all the time because he's in you. So with godly wisdom, it's peaceable. There's a spirit of tranquility. Godly knowledge is not compromising, and it's undivided, unwavering, consistent, and without hypocrisy. Let's look again at the first characteristic of godly wisdom. It's in verse 3. Let me see if I can find it. 3:18, I believe. It has to be doing with, I'm going to start at 6:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. That's the big characteristic of it. Having a pure heart. I was talking to my nephew the other day and I was praying for him. And I said, Brett, one of the main things that you've got to have is a pure heart. You have to look at what you do and what you say out of a pure heart. If you're doing that, if you're God-motivated, you can't go wrong and you'll be successful. But if you're not, if you're motivated by the world and your flesh, you are doomed to fail. And it's very easy to get caught up in worldly things and worldly matters. But they will fail you. Worldly wisdom is characterized by human reasoning, often driven by self-interest, pride, and a focus on temporal or fleshly success. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. People who have worldly wisdom, they're always planning the next step. Not to benefit you, but to get from you. So you have to be aware of where that person is and what's motivating them. Godly wisdom is rooted in the fear of the Lord and a focus on eternal truths and righteousness. Look at Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And it's talking about godly wisdom and godly instruction. And to get that godly knowledge, you have to go to the Word. You have to refer to the Word. I was talking to someone by text. You know, people like to text today. They don't really want to talk to you, but they want to text. And she was saying something, and I could tell she was using God's worldly wisdom and worldly understanding because she was so hurt. And I said, I answered her just like Jesus would from the Word. And that's the best you can do. Because then they have to shift. You have to direct them over to here. You have to direct them to what's godly. And if they're stuck in the flesh, their direction they have to take is what's godly. What's in the Word? What does the Word say about it? So I said, well, in the text, are you sure about that? Check out these scriptures and see what it says to you. Well, then I just got a heart back. I think that means love it or whatever. But that's what I'm having to get used to, all this new technology. Let's look at James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of it. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, for who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. One way to get wisdom is to ask for it. Sometimes that goes against our grain because we want to be in the flesh because we're so angry or so mad or so upset. But when you ask for it, God, I don't understand what's going on. I don't know what to do. When you ask, he's going to reveal it to you. First Corinthians 1:30. But of him, who's him? Jesus. But of Jesus, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. So you have the Holy Spirit in you, right? If you're a Christian. So you can always get in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to lead and direct you, to guide you into wisdom, his wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification and redemption. So sanctification is a setting apart, a growing in the things of the Lord. Redemption is, of course, salvation and coming into that. You know that part where it talks about taking up your cross and following him? People often think that that's a burden that they got to carry. It's not that. If you read the word and study it out, what that means is back in Jesus' day, crucifixion meant death. It was dying on a cross. It was humbling because usually they crucified people nude, totally naked. So it was very humiliating. It was a humbling experience. And so when he says, take up your cross and follow him, that means there's some things that you have to die to in yourself. And that's a hard thing to do because we like to be in the flesh sometimes and like to do like we do. But that's not always the best for us. It's part of our sanctification. Godly knowledge is gathered over time through the study of the scripture. Wisdom in turn acts properly upon that knowledge. Wisdom is a fitting application of godly knowledge. When you have godly knowledge and wisdom, you're not going to react the same way you did when you were in the world. You're going to take the time to step back and say, Lord, I need your help with this situation. I don't know what to do in my flesh, but I know you know what to do. Guide me in your word, direct me, and help me make the right decision. Knowledge understands, this is just worldly knowledge. Worldly knowledge understands that a light is red. Wisdom applies the brakes. Godly knowledge sometimes will show you if you don't stop, you may end up in an accident. Angelo, one time he was driving down the road. I wasn't with him. He was in Fort Smith. The Lord spoke to him to pull over. Just a few feet away, a speeding car came by, would have hit him, and all who knows what would have happened. But he recognized the voice of the Lord. He knew through godly knowledge and wisdom, I'm pulling over. One time I was coming home from somewhere. We have a hill by our house. It's pretty steep. And there was a hay bale truck coming up that hill. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, stop. I said, well, I can get around that truck, Lord. Stop and just sit here and let the big old flatbed truck come up. It had like three or four round hay bales on it. So I did. I just sat there and looked at the guy as he's coming up. Just as he's about to top where I'm at, all three of those bales rolled out and rolled down that hill where I would have been driving. Godly knowledge and wisdom. I didn't expect that. I didn't know that. It's part of walking in the Spirit. Knowledge sees the quicksand. Wisdom walks around it. Knowledge memorizes the Ten Commandments. Godly wisdom obeys them. Knowledge learns of God. Godly wisdom loves him. How to get wisdom? Five ways. There's probably more, but these are the five that the Lord gave me. Fear God. Proverbs 9:10. We'll turn there. Proverbs 9:10. Here's what it says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And that doesn't mean that you are fearful of the Lord. It means you respect him, you honor him, you know who he is. He is your Savior. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Notice that the capital letters on Lord, which means a covenant. The covenant that you have or the covenant relationship that you're in. When you see capital letters in reference to the Lord, that speaks to a covenant that you've made. The second way is desire wisdom, Proverbs 2:4. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, they're talking about wisdom. The thing is, you have this silver mine or gold mine in you, and in order to bring it out, you have to mine it out. You have to work. That's why the word says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have to work those things out. So desire wisdom. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So pray for it. That's another way. So we have fear God, desire wisdom, and pray for it. Number four, study God's word. Look at Psalms 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, changing your soul. The law, the word of God. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You don't have to be a scholar. You have to have a relationship. That's the difference. And you can see the Lord again in capitals, which means your covenant relationship with the Lord as a Christian, as a child of God. The fifth one, James 1:22-23. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. How can I explain this? You have to get into the word because it's one of the ways that you get to know who God is and what he is and what his promises are for you. So you have to know the word so that you can walk in wisdom, walk in knowledge, walk in the Spirit. And then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that's a good thing to do all those things. So they're the five things or ways to get wisdom. Fear God, desire wisdom, pray for it, study the word of God, and be doers of the word. Now, here's the thing. Remember I held up these signs? Worldly knowledge, worldly wisdom, godly knowledge, godly wisdom. If you find yourself torn in decisions or in things that come up and you want to react instead of waiting on the Lord, train yourself, train your spirit man to stop and wait on the Lord. Get in his word and see what it says. Lots of times people will make a decision, an important decision, rashly, and then they end up doing the wrong thing. But I guarantee you, if you walk in wisdom, godly knowledge, you will find the right way. And that's what I have for you today. I told Angela it's going to be short and sweet. And Kelly, I know when she was little, she liked that. Hallelujah. So that's it. Do you have anything you want to add, huh?